Maranatha, it's a word that just means the Lord cometh. And like you know, in this camp meeting, the aim and objective of the camp meeting is to discover or rediscover what the early apostles preached. Are you with me? We are to rediscover what was the emphasis of the early church, of the first disciples. What was their message? What did they emphasize? By the time I wrote out all the things I planned to teach, I discovered that I would need like five camp meetings to finish everything. So we have done, this is the third one, right? Lekki camp is a mini camp. Just one session. Because of the logistics involved. So, I discovered that we had about 20 teachings, 20 to 21 teachings to do. And also, if we camp meeting there, you have to give a space for the Holy Ghost to do what he wants to do. Signs and wonders. There has to be also space for prayer and worship. Because we came to camp. Amen. So, God will help us in Jesus' name. So, part and parcel of the gospel that was preached by the early church and the apostles was that Jesus was coming back. In fact, they prayed for him to come quickly. Contrary to what we see in today's church, people are really scared about the coming of the Lord. And they are scared for the wrong reasons. And the problem is that they have not been taught. In fact, when you see the way the early apostles wrote, they were adequately preparing for the Lord's coming. Adequately preparing. And now, the preparation was not whether or not they would make heaven. Are you with me? This is very important too. It amazes me how something can be so clear in the Bible and an entire generation of believers just miss it. Last year's camp, the first teaching we did in Port Harcourt was making heaven. I repeated that teaching in Abuja too because I wanted us to get it. Please, I will encourage you, go back, listen to that teaching. But let me show you something from there. In fact, the apostles knew that everyone truly saved believer was going to make heaven. Look at Philippians 3 verse 20 to 21. Philippians 3 verse 20 to 21. Everybody read with me, 1, 2, 3, go. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for also for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Glory! Glory. Now, if you read this in King James, like old King James as we have here, it may confuse you. You may wonder what is it saying. For our conversation is in heaven. Is it saying our discussion is in heaven? So give me NLT. Everybody read this and rejoice with me. 1, 2, 3, go. But we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into his glorious bodies like his own. Using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Glory! The Christian is not trying to make heaven. He was born there. He was born there. He was born into the presence of the Father. You know Matthew chapter 5. It says, your heavenly Father, our Father who art in heaven. So we have a Father in heaven. And Jesus comes and says, I am the way. In John 14, I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto God. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So if the Father is in heaven and no man cometh unto the Father but by him, that means Jesus is the way to heaven. When you come by him, you are born into the presence of where the Father is. Are you with me? So when you got born again, you were born into heaven. That's why he said you are seated with him in heavenly places. Are you with me? It's all littered all through the scripture. Let me show you some others. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 verse 52. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 51 to 52. You'll be wondering, is it the same gospel those guys heard that we are hearing? Look at the way they spoke. First Corinthians 15 verse 51. It says, everybody read with me. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Hey, we shall all be changed. Look at the emphasis on we shall all. Did you discover that? All. That means they had this consciousness that everyone who is born again and genuinely saved is going to heaven. We shall all be changed. Not one left behind. Look at verse 52. It says, in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Are you looking at this? One more, still on this, making heaven. So that you understand where we are coming from when we say preparing for the Lord's coming. When the disciples were talking about preparing for the Lord's coming, their idea was not about, oh, let us try our best so that we'll make it when he comes. It was for something deeper. Are you with me? Philippians 1 verse 6. I like this one. Philippians 1 verse 6. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Am I the one that said it? This is the Bible. How can Paul make this statement? You need to realize that he's talking to a whole church. The whole church in Philippi. He said, I am confident of this very thing. That if God has begun a work in you, he will perform it until the day of Christ, until the second coming, until his return. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So that means, for the child of God, making heaven is not something to get you scared about. The only issue is, has his work begun in you? If his work has begun in you, if you experience the organic change of salvation, be sure that if it happened at the beginning, he will take you to the end. Who remembers Abuja afternoon session, Blessed Assurance?
Yes,
we talked about this. How to know false salvation and all of that. So, what really were they talking about when we say preparing for the Lord's coming? Can we study that now? There is more to preparing for the Lord's coming than just making heaven. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. You're going to see some in this Bible study, there are many unpopular verses you're going to see. 2 Peter chapter 3 from verse 1. We're going to read 14 verses. A long read. Like afternoon sessions. 1 to 3 go. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Verse 2. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Look at this. First of all, are you seeing the way Apostle Peter is listing out the order of Christian doctrine? For something to be a Christian doctrine, Jesus must have explicitly taught it, or Jesus must have mentioned it. Then the apostles emphasized it. So, if you check the teachings of Jesus and check the teachings of the apostles and it's not there, there's a problem. Are you with me? If you see a pattern of ministry that Jesus did and the apostles did and we are not doing, then there's something wrong. People complain that, oh, why is that in New Breed services? People just fall. You know, when we had divine encounter, a lady fell under the power and stood up and ran out. That, what kind of church is this? Well, the Bible says, when he was preaching, one stood up and cried. One stood up and cried. The power of God fell upon. Soldiers came to see him and said, where is Jesus who is also God Christ? He said, I am he, and they fell backward. So, if it's the same ministry, the same pattern, I'm telling you, because it's the same spirit. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And there are many other things to still check for, but let's go on. Verse 3. Knowing this first, that in the last days shall come in Notice first that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, everybody read verse 4. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Have you heard things like this before?
Yes, sir.
Have you heard things like this before? People say, all this coming of Jesus, there is no coming of Jesus anywhere. I cannot forget my English teacher in SS2. You know, then I got born again in my chest entering into SS1, and the knowledge of Christ had intoxicated me. So I was preaching, and he just called me one side and said, David, well done, oh. He said, let me tell you something, eh? There is no Jesus coming anywhere. Ah, I was shocked, because this man looked like the most moral person you can ever see. He said, David, are you hearing me? There is no Jesus coming anywhere. He said, the day a man dies, that is the day he has met with God. This man almost convinced me, until I encountered this verse. He says they will come in scoffers in the last days, saying that where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, everything has been the same. He told me this world will never end. It has started and will never end. Any day you die, that's the day you meet your God. And in some sense, he has a point, but it's contrary to Bible doctrine. Are you with me? Verse 5. For this day willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. There are scriptures that when I read, I feel like they shoot me injection. Please put this thing in King James, in NLT. It says, willingly they are ignorant. It says, they deliberately forget that God made the heavens by the word of his command, and he brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. He's telling you, look at the language, you tell you that this God you are playing with is not a joker. I love the King James language. Look at, he brought the earth out of water and surrounded it with water. Verse 6. Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perishing of ungodly men. That means the first world was destroyed by water. This one will be destroyed by fire. The days of Noah. In the days of Noah, God destroyed the world by water. But in our own days, he will destroy the world by fire. Even scientists are proving it now. The world is getting hotter. Global warming is increasing. Let's go on. Verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, so the reason why it looks like God is taking time is because he's waiting for all to come to repentance.
Yes.
God is not the one willing for anyone to perish. So he's waiting for more people to be saved. Are you following this?
Yes,
read on. Are we in verse 10? Yeah. Okay, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt to fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Verse 11. Everybody read this verse 11. My emphasis is from this place. Verse 12. Pause. What? Everybody read that first sentence again. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. I remember reading this thing. They were hasting unto it. Can the believer today say he's hasting unto the day of God?
I know that this type of teaching is not common, but it's in the Bible. The apostles were preaching it like they were preaching every other thing. Can you say you are hasting towards the day of God? Let me tell you one reason to haste towards the day of God. If you don't haste towards that day of God, Satan is also hasting towards his own kingdom. Oh, you think it was a joke where people cried, Maranatha, come Lord. Let me tell you, if the Lord does not come quickly, the Bible says, if the days are not shortened, even the very elect shall be deceived. That's what the Bible says. That there will be lying wonders and signs upon the earth. There are already lying wonders upon the earth. Do you know how many false prophets and churches are available now? Do you know? I can't even mention. If I may mention some names, you'll be afraid. Do you know how many false prophets are around? And genuine Christians cannot understand why they are just, those people are just popular. There are things happening. If those days are not shortened, Satan will keep on unleashing more things. COVID-19 was just a test. It was a test of what is coming. The wickedness in this world is going to increase. And that's why the glory of the Bible says, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but his glory shall be seen upon us. The evil in man is multiplying. LGBTQ. ZYZ. Somebody, a footballer, wrote on his clothes, "I love Jesus." And coincidentally, who saw that thing? Coincidentally, the rainbow sign was on that part of his clothes. They took him to court. Now, why will he write "I love Jesus" on the rainbow sign? Rainbow that belongs to God, lesbian community. Said it belongs to them. And there are people funding these ideas. Satan has plans for this world to turn it upside down. If you know the level of conspiracy going on, last year in Lagos Church, I showed them, was it last year or last 2 years? I showed them a video. All of you that like singing Ashake, "You never see me coming." Actually, you don't see them coming. That's the problem. In that video, in his video, what he did in that video, he mocked the church from beginning to the end. Okay, let's not go far. The last, is the Olympics that happened, where they mocked the Last Supper. And you think those people are okay? No, they're under the oppression of demons. Oppression of demons. The persecution that the early church faced, it was so much that at some point they had to cry, "Come Lord! Maranatha!" Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
These are the kind of things I think about. I'm just sharing with you the kind of thoughts. So, in verse 13, it says, Nevertheless, according to his promise, that's 2 Peter 3, verse 13. "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." There are two verses I wanted to see in this 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. What does it say? "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be?" Kai. Now, where you know that everything that your eyes are currently seeing are going to be dissolved, what kind of person are you supposed to be? What kind of man are you supposed to be? What manner of persons we ought to be? When we think about the fact that everything that we see, you buy 2024 Benz AMG model. You know, in Abuja, where we are, it's called the Showdown City. That city. You will see somebody that does not have a house, has a car, has a 20 million naira car. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, What manner of person ye ought to be? Then look at verse 14. He says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, so seeing that you're looking for a new earth and a new heaven, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace. Without spot and blameless. He's not saying that he will not be found. He will find you because you are his child. But now, when you meet him, will you be in peace? These are things in the Bible that people don't talk about. Especially this movement they call grace movement. I'm a grace preacher, you know that, right? But I'm a Bible grace preacher, not a Christo Rasca preacher. That's why many times I'm quiet online. I'm quiet online. Everybody just, everybody's a theologian. Say Moses did not know God. Elijah missed it. No, you are saying Elijah missed it. Moses did not know God. That we are going to correct Elijah. And we have a lot of so-called ministries like that today. You say we are greater than Moses. Before you say it, be careful. In what context are we greater than Moses? In Christ and in what he has done. And the Bible says all scripture is inspired by God. All scripture is God-breathed. So don't be quick to correct Moses. Understand very well what you are saying. Before you say, no, Moses got it wrong. Like the one that said, no, Noah, God not tell Noah to build an ark. I will not mention it. All of you know. Yes, sir. Noah, if you are patronizing all those people, I don't know what to say to you. God not tell Noah to build an ark. So who sent the rain? No, who sends the rain? They say it's angels that send the rain. Without God's permission. Say it's not God that rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. That is angels that did it. God does not key. Who created hell? Let's not enter that debate. Yes, no, that debate. Let me tell you something. All of you in Newbridge, you don't know what God has done for you. No, let me just put it like that. The kind of hard work we do to preserve the authenticity of the faith and give you the way the Bible, the way it is. But look at this. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace. Without spot and blameless. So there are believers that will be saved. They will meet God, but God will not be at peace with them. There are things that God will be saying, I know you are my child. But this one, let this Bible, read it too. When you see the way the believers prepared for heaven or prepared for the coming of the Lord, they were more concerned about making Jesus proud than trying to make heaven, because they already knew they will make heaven. Let me show you another one. 1 John 2 verse 28 to 29. Everybody, 1 John 2 28 to 29. It says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have, are you seeing it on the screen? We may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. First of all, you may say, no, he's not talking to Christians, he's talking to unbelievers, but he just called them little children. They are believers. Abide in him that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he's righteous, we know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So that means there will be Christians, children of God, who when they see Jesus, they will be ashamed. There are things that if you do or you stop doing, it will cause you to not to be confident that it's coming. You will be taken up or you will be raptured, but you will not be confident at his coming. Many people think that at the coming of Christ, you will just be floating. You will not know yourself, your mind will be off. I can assure you, you will be wide. In fact, you'll be more conscious than now. Do Don't you remember? Jesus spoke about the rich man and Lazarus. In hell, the rich man could talk and say, I want water. The rich man could remember that he had five brethren. So you will be able to remember your friends. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And he wanted to send Lazarus to his five brethren. That means the spirit realm is not a vague place where you will just be floating and you don't know what you are doing. You will know, you will be awake, you will be alive. You will now discover that the real you is not your physical body. You will discover that there is a spirit and a soul in man. That means there is a perspective the believers must have, like the early church had about the coming of the Lord. Now, let me give you a present day example to explain, to bring home what I'm talking about. Who has attended boarding school before? You were in boarding school at some point. Or you know people in boarding school. When you send your child to boarding school, your child is not going to ask, Daddy, will you come back and carry me? Will you forget me? The child knows that if my father puts me in boarding school, at the end of the semester, he's going to come and catch and get me, right? What may be disturbing the child is not the father's coming, but is my result good enough to present? Are you getting me? Yes, so if you're a child of God, rapture is not the challenge. You will be raptured, but what result will you present? When you go home and your father says, show me your result, what will you show him? After we go home and we have the marriage supper of the Lamb and they say, okay, it's time to open the book of works, what will you say? That's how to prepare for the coming of the Lord. Not taught to be scared about rapture. If you are born again, you'll be raptured. Are you with me? So there are three things you need to put in place to be properly prepared for the Lord's coming. Number one, perspective. Choose God's perspective. Luke 16 verse 15. Luke chapter 16 from verse 15. Luke 16 verse 15, he said, and he said unto them, yea, a day, he was talking to the Pharisees, which justify yourself before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. What kind of scripture is this? That means if you are a person who you are so crazy about what men think about you, you may not be prepared for his coming. You may be doing things that will make you unready for his coming. If you are crazy about people's opinions about you. Now, do people's opinions about you count? Of course they do. But there is somebody's opinion who counts more than other people's opinion. It's called God's opinion. You see a music minister. You will sing. You know you did your best to bless the people. But because people were not shouting, hey, we are not falling, your mind said, did I minister well? You are too concerned about people's demonstration instead of God's recommendation. Just bless God's people and go. Don't worry. It's not by the one who say, hold him there, hold them there. There's fire, fire, fire. Music minister, half of the music minister is not single. We're just doing take it, take it. Are you a pastor? We give you 30 minutes to sing. 20 minutes. Me, that is me, Pastor David. I sing too, but this, my voice is under God. Help me. Tomorrow we have live recording. Go help this voice in Jesus' name. If there is a way I can be doing ministry without praying the way I pray and preserve that my voice, I'll be doing it. Jesus. But when you want to change people's lives, you don't change people's lives by, oh God, change them. Oh God, Liga Prakosh Kapata. No, no. That's not how we do it. When I'm praying in the night, Rakatapata, Ekama. By the time I come and say, oh God, you know that the voice has been strained. Choose God's perspective. Let me show you another one. Romans 2 verse 29. Romans 2 verse 29. The Bible says,
But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter. Everybody read the last verse. Whose praise is not of men, but of God. Hey! Perspective. Now, do you know that if Jesus was on the earth today, we would have called him a failure. You died at 33 and a half years. No property to your name. You could not even marry and produce children. You claimed you were a prophet, but they killed you. You said you resurrected. Only your disciples claimed to. How are we sure? You may have called him a failure. But that was the Lord of glory. That was the King and Savior. That means things are not exactly the way men perceive. You cannot. Now, am I saying disregard men completely? I'm not saying that. But you must know that eventually it is not the opinions of men that make the summation of your life. Perspective. When you understand this, you know that you, for the fact everybody is doing it does not mean you must do it. That fear of missing out. Everybody is going there, I must go. I must you go. See my mates. All my mates now are married. You have mates that are dead. You have mates that are in the grave. My God. I remember visiting, I was in Lagos 2 weeks ago. Okay, after Lagos camp, one of my friends came to see me. We read engineering together. And he was telling me how some of my classmates, people that we left school together, are earning $10,000 per month. Not 10,000 naira, $10,000. Somebody is thinking about the money and speaking in tongues. You didn't speak in tongues. I hope it's not the money that's making you speak in tongues. Gabriel, you're a suspect. And he was just telling me how that some of them, they were following the Lord, but it's as if this money has just carried them away. This guy, he had too much money, he drove his wife away. His side chick told him, what is that woman doing in your house? I want a woman that is more pink. And he told his wife. He kicked his wife out. Funny enough, the story was that the wife was not born again when she met him. He was the born again. He was the one that preached to the wife and dragged her to church. She used to be a Lagos baddie. He dragged the girl to church. The girl was more wealthy than him that time. He was earning like 200K. The girl was earning like 800. Now, his own has entered dollars. His levels have changed like times 1 million. Eh? If you convert that $10,000, 17 million a month. he told the girl, will you get out of my sight? So now the girl was not trying to preach to him back. He said, I better leave church. He does not go to church again. Now, all the thing the girl was saying, I did not hear for the first 5 minutes. I was calculating $10,000. That one is too small for university. I was calculating. I said, wait, am I in the wrong career? Lord, I know you called me. I had to kick that thing out. Jesus said, beware of covetousness. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. A time will come that money will be chicken change for me and for you. Yeah. Ah! Sometimes I choose God's perspective. I see things with the lens of God. Look at your life from God's lens. Revelation 3 verse 1 to 2. The Bible says, and also the angel of the church in Sardis, these things saith he, that had the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. So Jesus is the one talking. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. Kai! People look at you and say you're on fire, but God says you're not on fire. People say this brother is a fire brother, but God is saying you're not a fire brother. He says, I know thy works. You have a name. You have a name that you are alive, but actually you are dead. I don't want to be that kind of person. I want to be a person that God will be proud of. Say after me, I will be a person. I will be a man and a woman that God will be proud of. Let me tell you something. And sometimes, when God is proud of you, soon men will become proud of you. Some people are so, you embarrassed me before people. People? You embarrassed me. If you are a person who, if you are two people sensitive, you cannot make God proud. Just imagine you are a man of God. And you are like Jesus, you are a man of God. And somebody who is blind came to, in front of you. And just as he wanted to lay hands, God, you know that this was God that said this one. You are not confused whether it's God or your mind. You just heard God from heaven, my son, pick the mud nearby and spit on it on the road. Mix it and place on his eyes and it shall be healed. I can bet you 45% of people will be arguing. What will they say? What will people say? What will people think? Will they not say this? You will be doing like that, the person will go. Praise the Lord. So you make up your mind that I will choose God's perspective. I will do the will of God for my life. If God says I should go somewhere, I will go there. If God says I should be this way, I will be this way. Are you with me? I will choose God's will for my life. I will not marry a man because he has money. I will marry a man because God wants me to marry him. I have peace in my heart. He's a Lord. Are you with me? I have heard things. So I was told that there is a scope in Abuja. I see somebody asked me, Pastor, are you married? I said, I'm married. He said, God has saved you. You married before you came to Abuja. God has saved you. That if you are a young pastor, you can find a babe that is doing very well. You give yourself as a husband. She will give you money as partnership. So she will sponsor your ministry, and you will sponsor a marital life with yourself. First of all, I said no single person is strong enough to sponsor this ministry. You go tire. No, you will tire now. If I tell you figures, you will not believe me. The other day, our admin came to meet me. She just came and said, Pastor, church needs money. Oh. I'm like, as you know now, B. She said, I thought church used to make money from offerings. I said, why are you bringing up this talk? She said, I was just calculating some things. The offering and the expenditure does not add up. I said, I think you know now, B. They welcome on board. Welcome to the life and the walk of faith. Are you with me? The life and the walk of faith is God that has been sponsoring us. It's God. Say that means God. Number two, thing you must watch out for to be prepared at his coming is good works. Say after me, good works. And under good works, there are two categories. Works of righteousness and works of service. Works of righteousness and works of service. James 1 verse 12. James chapter 1 verse 12. Everybody read. Can we start from verse 10? James 1 verse 11. Verse 12. There's a context I wanted you to see, but it's in the upper verses about temptation. But let's just stay with verse 12 because of our time. Everybody, 1, 3, go. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now, pay attention. He says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation.
For when he tried, what many people cannot see in this verse is that those two statements are two different times. There is a stage where you are enduring temptation, and there is a stage where you will be in front of God and God will be trying you. The coming of the Lord, there will be a day of judgment, of trial. Are you with me? So, when you endure temptation, God will keep record of it as a child of God. On the day of trial, when you stand before God and his angels, God will give you a crown of life. He said, for enduring temptation that day. Every time you fall for sin, you have lost the crown. You are going to make heaven. You are born again. But every time you give in, because this thing called temptation, there is always a testing process. So now, let's assume you are a small child. You know, there are different levels of temptation. There are temptations for children between 1 and 10 years old. You are looking at the cake in the fridge and the chicken. Mommy said, don't collect it, but you are looking at it. Should I not? Your mind is going, boom, 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 boom. There is a point of religion where you decide, I will collect it. Where you know it's wrong, but I will collect it. That time, the person has fallen. Even if the person has not grabbed it. And sometimes God used to help. Just as you're about to grab, your mother will just enter the kitchen. Salome, can you help me warm the stew? Say, what were you doing? I wanted to collect water. That's an ally again. There's another level of temptations from when you are 11 to 20. You now want to watch pornography on your laptop. Or you go to that boy's house. Or the boy comes to your house. Something wants to happen. Should I? Should I not? That period, God is watching. And there is an endurance you need. And God says, if you endure that process, because the devil will make you feel like if you say no, I'm not going to fall for this temptation, and you walk out of that girl's house or you walk out of that boy's house, and two of you now decide and say, no, we can't do this. The devil will begin to paint in your mind, you missed something. That enjoyment, you would have just chopped small. You missed something. But God is saying, that thing you lost by enduring temptation, he will reward you with a crown of life. There's another level of temptation from 30 to 40 when you're in the office. Your boss comes and says, sign out this 2 billion. Don't worry. 500M is your own. And your boss says, you know what? If you can sleep with me for 2 nights, I'm going to do this and this and this and this for you. Blessed is the man that endured temptation. So there will be a day of reckoning. When you understand that there will be a day of reckoning, your life will be very different. You will not speak ill against people anyhow. You will not join those nonsense. You know, see, if people hate another person, don't just join them to go and hate. Don't carry fire that does not belong to you. There's a way you will live your life. When this Bible says, seeing then that this world will be born to fervent heat, what manner of persons he ought to be? Let me tell you, there is nobody in my life I'm keeping malice with. Are there people who have hurt me in the past? Yes. When I see them, I love them, but we can be afar. But say, we will be keeping malice every, I will be trying to say the person cannot amount to anything, he will still be great. Are you with me? He will still do well. Oh, she broke your heart, she will still do well in life. She will still, do you understand me? My eyes are fixed on the fact that there is a day of judgment. You see all those nonsense things people used to do? They will give you somebody's money, you collect it. You allow the person to suffer. You treat people anyhow. The Bible says, if the righteous be scarcely saved, meaning the judgment will be so strong that even those who are saved, it will just be by the grace of God because they are already saved in Christ. Are you with me? How much more those who do not obey the gospel of God? If you are a friend to a politician and is stealing and making people suffer, waiting they come, hey God. That's why God is patient, so that you will repent. There is a day of judgment. There is a day of reckoning. Sometimes the judgment will begin here. That's why I tell young guys,
If you know you are not going to love this woman, don't marry her. Because when you marry, and you not start cheating on her, she's not crying every day to Jehovah Sabaoth. Okay. Worst case scenario, you say, I'm not doing again. Oh yeah, let's go our separate ways. When you understand these things, your life will be straight. Straight. And I'm not saying that you cannot make mistakes or we don't make mistakes. But when you make a mistake, you don't stay there. You stand up and move on. Are you with me? The Lord is coming. Works of righteousness. What about works of service? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 12. There are so many scriptures here, but the time is flying, so I have to fly too. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 12 to 15. It says, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Everybody read verse 14. He shall receive a reward. Verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be so he will be saved. If you are born again, you will be saved. Yet so as by fire, meaning just the same way a person escaped fire, that's how you'll be saved. So you are saved, but everything is lost except you. He's talking about your work. When your Christian work is put on the fire, what will come out of it? Because right now, when we look at the church and the work of God, people look at it in terms of, is Pastor David's church, or is Papa Biomia's church, or is Bishop Oedipus' church. Eventually, it is Jesus' church. Are you what I'm saying? Everybody's work will be tried. Pastor, your work will be tried. When I read in James chapter 3 verse 2 that not everybody should be called a teacher, because the teacher shall receive greater condemnation, fear gripped me. So, every, you know those people that once they pray for people and people start falling under anointing, everybody, that's my daughter. That's my son in the Lord. No problem. You will join the condemned. God judges men of God separately. There are some things I don't even know if I can talk about it. People ask me, why do you do new breed? I will give account one day. They gave you something to do in church. How did you handle it? What work? Your church is doing something. What work did you contribute? God will ask you. How did your life contribute to the spread of the gospel? Every day you are posting like CCN on your status. And you're asking for a new phone. When the last one has not done the work of God. You are posting a Makinje Pium. You disappear. What contribution has your life? I know that sometimes church people may have made you angry. Leave them and face God. If it's about church people, I will not even be doing this ministry. I remember when God told me to start New Breed. Half of the people I meant, if you see the way they discouraged me. Men of God, though. I cannot forget. Yeah, I'm sure that my mentor has forgotten. I met him and said, sir, see what God is asking me to do. He said, you read engineering, right? I said, yes, sir. And you want to go and start a church? I said, that's what God leading me to do. He said, you are wrong. I said, sir, why am I wrong? He said, have you finished taking care of your mother? Instead of you to go and get a good job and make money and take care of that woman that labored for you to go to school, you say it's church you want to start, you will suffer. You will suffer. Well, I've told you my own. That was how he encouraged me. The next one I went to meet, as I was talking, he didn't even do like he was hearing me. He said, I see an offer for pipeline engineering in this company. Are you interested? He said, you read mechanical. I hear you're doing very well. You can. He talked down. So I had to leave them and go and pray again. And God was not even, you know, sometimes when you're expecting God to pat you on the back, God say, leave your job, everything, go full time. Hey. That's why I tell you, if God not tell you, I'm different too. Me, God called, he sent me. If I cry like this, heaven will respond. Are you with me?
Yes,
4 years after, one of them came here. Then we never ever reached this level. One of them came here. Say, ah, man of God, I see what God is doing. I see explosion. Explosion. Human beings, these are the slight success that will change our mind. At the slight success, they will change their mind. Now imagine I disobeyed God to obey him. Works of service. Okay, now that God has been building his work, I cannot handle this with levity. I was telling you yesterday, I said, imagine, camp meeting is coming, and I now come and say, you know what, Kai, let's just worship. I don't have anything to teach. Eh? No, we worship, but I go give you, I go feed you with the word of God. You will grow. No, I want to do my job well so that when I stand before him, I will say, I tried. Are you with me? When you stand before him, can you say you tried? I'm not that kind of person that will tell you, give, I'm not giving. No, 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 no. I know they do like that. No. We know they do like that. Because we will give account. There's so much to say about this, but works of righteousness and works of service. I can open scripture up. There are so many. I have like 6 here just on this. So what are the things to look out for in getting prepared for the Lord's coming? Number one, what? Perspective. Number two, what? Good works. Works of righteousness and works of... Can you actively say you are in the service of God? Some of you have influence to bring people to church. What have you done with it? Oh, they don't want to come to church. Have you preached to them? Has your resources spread the gospel? Thank God I knew the Lord deeply before I became a pastor. So it's not be that I'm a pastor and I don't know what it means to. I know what it means to sacrifice for the gospel. I've discovered that the gospel has not moved forward because people have money. It moves forward because people sacrifice. There are just a handful of people who are sacrificing. There are people that, when you hear what people have done for this Jesus, you'll be asking yourself, do I even love God? As a pastor, when I see reports, I see that, this person has given like this. I will call my wife, I say, see what this brother and this sister gave for the church. We, that are the pastors. Oh, yeah. Let's do our own. Are you with me? Number three, destiny. Third thing to look out for is destiny. And what do I mean by destiny? Fulfilling God's will for your life. So while you are waiting for the coming of the Lord, are you fulfilling God's will for your life? Luke chapter 19 from verse 12. Praise the Lord. Luke 19 verse 12. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Read on verse 13. Read on. Read on. Read on. Every man gained by trading. Then came the first saying, thy pound had gained 10 pounds. Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in little, very little, thou have authority over 10 cities. Second came saying, Lord, a pound had gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou over 5 cities. And another came saying, Lord, behold,
Here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I fear thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou did not sow. And he said, out of mouth will I judge thee. Uh-huh. Take from him the pound, and give it to him that had 10 pounds. Said unto him that, even that which he had shall be taken away. Why am I bringing up this story? It is because there's another part of preparing for his coming you must not miss out. It is your destiny. When God has committed something into your heart to get done, what are you doing with it? Are you looking at somebody, what somebody else is doing, or are you doing what God has called you to do? For instance, let's assume you are a singer. Today I'm on the music people. And God says, serve in music. And then you start singing in your church choir. And then after a while, you just allow some, you begin to compare yourself, maybe another brother in the choir too, who maybe sings very well, or you feel his voice is better than you. Then you now leave the choir. You are doing what this one did. Did he give you voice? Did he give you? Can you sing? Well, yeah, do it and leave the one that has 5 pounds. Even if your own is one, be faithful with that one. Are you with me? Don't give up on what God has asked you to do because somebody seems to be doing it better. God gave you a business idea. Okay, everybody's doing the business idea. Okay, what have you done with that one that he gave you? Did you hear what I said? God says, start a company. Have you? The problem is, do you think about your relationship? Let me tell you, when God is having a relationship with you, he relates with you as though there's no other person in the world. He gave you a company to start. You say, this one is doing it. One day, Nancy, I'm copying the person. You know, something happened recently when NSPPD blew up and people were praying on the platform and some other pastors started doing their own prayer online program. And I saw another pastor criticizing them that, why are you doing online prayer program? You all want to copy Pastor Jerry Eze. Are there some that copied? Yes. Are there some who they actually got instruction to do it? Yes. If God has said, okay, what that man's doing, I want you to pattern after that person and do the same. You are not their judge. Are you following me? If God has said he should do, are you getting me? Let me tell you, a genuine Christian does not talk too much. There is what you will know in the Bible. Eh? You will not talk too much. Because God may have asked this person to start. And for the fact, one seems bigger. Maybe he has 10 pounds. And this one does not seem so big. Does not mean it's out of the will of God. See, I understand this. So God told me years ago, New Breed will be a global mega, mega ministry. He said, but you will never, he told me, you will never look down on anybody who does not seem to be as big as you. So, thank God for the branches. Thank God for the growth God is giving us. But I don't look at other pastors and say, see that man, he said God called you. How many branches do you have? I don't do that. I don't do that. I don't look at any pastor and say, I'm better than you. No. For the fact God gave you 10 pounds does not mean he's not working with the guy with 5 pounds. Did you hear what I said? So, you have to decide that I will fulfill my destiny. See after me, I will fulfill my destiny. I will not look at what others are doing, but I will fulfill my destiny. Amen. 2 Timothy 4 verse 6 to 8, you see Paul. Paul says in verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. 2 Timothy 4 verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. A crown of righteousness. That means there is a crown for doing the will of God. Praise the Lord. I saw a verse of the Bible that got me thinking. Look at John
21 verse 17 to 23.
Pardon me the way I'm preaching. Amen. See, yeah, God coming for this work. This is third camp meeting. So today, this session makes it, I've preached. We've had how many sessions? Five, six in Abuja, five in Lagos. This means like 12 sessions in the past 3 weeks.
I will do more.
Amen. Look at John 21 verse 17. Everybody read with me. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou was young, thou gathest thyself and walkest without thou wouldest. But now when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall get thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Verse 19. This spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. Jesus. This spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. No. Let me explain properly. He was actually talking to Peter by the way he would die to glorify God. Praise the Lord. Some of you are wondering where the pastor get that interpretation from. You will soon see it. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Then Peter turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Verse 21. Peter seeing him, said unto Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Verse 22. Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow down me. Verse 23. Then when this saying abroad among the brethren that disciple should not die, yet Jesus said unto him, said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I read that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Have you ever read this part of the Bible and wondered what it's saying? Even right now, some of you are feeling confused. So what's going on? So Jesus was about to die. And Jesus began to talk to his disciples specifically. He looked at Peter and said, when you are young, you can go where you want to go. But the time is coming when you will be old. People will carry you to where you are not going to. You don't want to go. And Jesus was telling Peter that this is, you are going to die a death which you will not decide. And through that death, you will glorify God. If you remember the way Peter was killed, if you know the story of the martyrs, Peter was killed in a very gruesome way. And Peter now said, you know what? Turn the cross upside down. And then Peter said, okay, I have received my own. I know I'm going to die for the gospel. What about John? What shall this man do? Then Jesus now said, if I say that he will tarry till I come back, what is that to you? You follow me. Are you following this? Now, if you remember, John was the last of the disciples that died. And John was saying that saying went rampant that John will not die. But it was not said that John will not die. It was that he will tarry for a long time. Or he will tarry till the Lord comes. There are some people who still argue that is still John, is John still alive? We don't know. I don't know and I don't want to know. Yeah, let me know the one that's already written in the Bible. Are you with me? My emphasis there is Jesus did not want Peter to interfere with John's dealings. He said, if I say this one will tarry till I come, what is that? Is that your problem? What is that to you? I'm trying to tell you something. Don't let anybody interfere with your dealings. You know, somebody came and said, Pastor David was not supposed to go to Abuja. I said, if God said I should go to Abuja, what is that to you? What is that to you? I look back and this is
almost 12 months since I moved to Abuja, I'm grateful to God. Hey, if we did not make that move, when God asked us to open the Lagos church, I had some mentors who were not in support of it. But the question is, are we obeying God? Are we doing God's own? Praise the Lord. This, what I'm saying, may not be for everybody, but it's for some people. Are you getting me? I've seen cases where God will tell a person, all the members of the person's family attend Catholic, God will say, you go and join New Breed. If God has said the person to join New Breed, what is that to you? You follow the Lord. Are you with me? Jump on your feet.